And we'll be in Luke chapter 2 this evening, Luke chapter 2. And what was the name of that song? What was the name of that song? I Call It Home. Is that what it is? Is that the actual title? I Call It Home. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, that's great. I love that. Some call it paradise. Some call it, and I just call it home. That's great. That's wonderful. By the way, we do have someone graduating from college, and I think it's, I've got the date written down. It's December 6th, 4 p.m., Napa Valley College, and they're being pinned for their registered nurse degree, and that's Joanne will be graduating right over here in just about 2 weeks, and so I'm real happy for her. And she said she'll check anyone out for free. And so, you know, if you're not vaccinated, she'll vaccinate you. If you're vaccinated and didn't want to be, she'll unvaccinate you. If you need pills, whatever kind of pills, she can get discounted. She's got the key to the drugstore. And I'm just kidding with you. But she's already doing all sorts of things at the Queen of the Valley. And so I'm just so proud of Joanne. She has worked hard. She's worked mighty hard. So we're in the book of Luke, if you will, please. And if you'll look at the Bible study sheet, we're just calling it Relationship with Relatives During the Holidays. And instead of saying Thanksgiving, New Year's, Christmas, Leap Year, St. Patrick's Day, we're just calling it holidays right there. But notice, please, in Luke chapter number 2, we want to read just a couple of passages. And notice over here, this is Jesus. When he's 12 years old, the only story we have in Scripture about his youth, we have him being born, and then we have his adult ministry at age 30, but this is the only episode when he's 12 years old. Look at this. So Luke chapter 2, and look down, please, in verse number 41. It says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." So look at that. That feast started with Moses when they crossed the Red Sea. And so he wanted that feast celebrated much or very similar to the Lord's Supper. And, you know, in other words, he was saying, don't forget the Passover, the blood on the door. I delivered you out of slavery. And so Jesus' parents, Mary, Joseph, they're still celebrating it. Verse 42, when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother, notice, it did not say his father and his mother. You know why? Because of the virgin birth. And so the Holy Spirit really protects it, and it's right here. If Jesus was born of a man and a woman, he would not be God, because God was his father. Miracle birth and human mother, and God is his father. So verse 43, Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. Let's stop there for a moment. What is a day's journey? It was a shorter day than a normal day. Now that sounds strange. What's that mean? The first day's journey on a journey was about half the length of a normal day's journey. Normal day would be 16 to 20 miles. The first day of a journey, they'd go about 8 miles at most, 3 to 8 miles. You know why? It's kind of strange. The custom was, we didn't want to travel too far in case we forgot something. And that's really what they did. So this was a one-day journey. You know, they'd probably be good on vacation, wouldn't it? You know, let's not go too far the first day in case we forgot one of the kids or forgot a suitcase. You know, I thought that was interesting. But you say, where'd you get that? Read it recently in a manners and customs book. And so then it says, verse 44, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk. Do you have him? You have him? I thought he was with you. Isn't he at your house? Isn't he on your camel? An acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. What a great example as a youth. He learned to listen. And then he asked questions so he would learn. What a great example. Think of this. I wonder where the average young person would be if they were loose in the big city. Where would you look for them? Where would you look for them? Most of us, when we were teens, you wouldn't look for us at the church. Oh, if you don't know where they are, look at the church. That's where they are on a Saturday night. I doubt it. So anyway, no confessions here tonight. Here we go. And then it says, verse 47, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, and I don't think she was real peaceable when she said this. I think she was worried. Say, how come? When you don't know where God is, you're in trouble. I mean, they lost God. Okay? He says, son, why has, and I think her voice is quivering and her fingernails are coming out. Anyway, you know, she's upset. She's probably crying. You ever say, where is that kid? I'm going to kill him. And so you're crying to find him, and then you want to kill him after you found him. And it says in verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? You mean you were looking for me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? So every Jewish boy would come to the age where it was time for him to choose what he wanted to be. A carpenter, a potter, a shepherd. What was it he wanted to be? And so at age 12, Jesus already knew, I'm going to spend my life about my father's business. And everything Jesus did revolved around the father's business. You know, that'd probably be a good lesson for all of us. Everything we ought to do, does this help the father's business? And we already know what his business is. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. You parents that don't have teenagers yet, you have young children, wait till they're teens. Then you're going to say, that's our life's verse. We understood, we didn't understand him. Verse 51, and he went down with them. Notice, he was not just separated from them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject. Perfection was subject to imperfection. You know what greatness is? Greatness is when we can submit to someone that we know more than. Some of you have worked jobs, and it's somehow they put a boss over you, and you were more experienced than them, but you just bit your lip, and you did your job, and just let it settle till they notice you ought to be the one running the business. And so Jesus was subject to them. What a great example to us. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Notice all the relationships here. So we have a mother, a son, a stepfather, this family right here. And then let's notice one more in 1 Peter for just a second. 1 Peter, if you will, and look over to chapter number 3. 1 Peter in chapter 3. And this is a great, just a real great chapter. And it's dealing with submission. This book talks a lot about suffering. And one of the areas of suffering is not just physical suffering, but it's submitting to someone that's hard to submit to. That's actually a part of suffering. And it seems like all of us at some time, there'll be someone over us that either we don't respect, or they're not as experienced, or there's not a close relationship with, but it's just something you have to do. And so notice, military people in here, our veterans. Did you ever have someone over you that was not real kind, that maybe didn't tuck you in to the bunk at night and didn't ask how your day was? And was there anything else you wanted at the chow hall line? I mean, how could they improve the food or the MRIs? Is there a way, you know, would you rather have DoorDash or maybe Pizza Hut pizza delivered to the foxhole? No one asked that. It was just chain of command. That's the sergeant. I'm the corporal. He's the corporal. I'm the private. He's the general. You know, I'm just the master. So it's There's always somebody. So notice here in 1 Peter, and looking down in chapter number 3, and here it is. It says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, talking about if you have an unsaved husband, they also may without the word be won by the conversation. That means the lifestyle of the wives. So it's saying at this time, a man could just buy a wife. It wasn't always love. It wasn't always a choice. It was sometimes prearranged by their parents. How many teenagers are glad your parents have not prearranged your marriage? Can you imagine your parents mad at you? We're going to have you marry her. You know, and that was your punishment or something. And so it's saying that by your lifestyle, you may win this guy. And then notice what it says. While they behold your chaste conversation, it's not words, but it's life, coupled with fear, respect. By the way, respect has to be earned. It cannot be demanded. Verse 3, whose adorning, or he's talking about this wife, her beauty, her adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, all the hairstyles, and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. It's simply saying, don't let your beauty just be the hairstyle, the jewelry, the clothing. But that is, it does accent. But it says, verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. So the ornament of a great spirit. So just quickly here, as we talk about relationship with the relatives during the holidays, what happens is our spirit is an ornament. You've seen the little Charlie Brown Christmas trees where you start off as just kind of this twig. It's not much to it. But you start putting some ornaments on it. I don't know what this is. Anyway, it used to smell good. And then you've got these ornaments. So what it is our lives, when we're around relatives for the holidays and even unsaved people, our spirit ought to be an ornament that decorates and makes the tree more beautiful. It says the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. So we could drop the meek and quiet and just say the ornament of a spirit that just spices it up. So that's what we are as Christians during the holiday seasons. We ought to be the one that brings more beauty to the season and places we go just by us being there. All right? So several just tips here tonight. Maybe I brought this 10 years ago in a Bible study or something. Some of us will be around people this next week that we're rarely around. Aunts, uncles, cousins. Maybe there's a little reunion. You're having people over for Thanksgiving. You're going over there. And in some cases, you're not real close to them philosophically. And in some cases, you don't get around them much. And so just some thoughts here. I do want to say this to start off. It is not a sin to pick a date and say, this is Thanksgiving or we're celebrating Christmas. That's not a sin. There's always someone that looks at the history and says, well, Jesus was really born on April 15th. We don't know when exactly what day he was born. It's not wrong to pick a day and say, we're celebrating that day. So next time someone tries to give you a hard time about celebrating Christmas, it's a heathen holiday, just say, boo. And that means you're celebrating Halloween. Boo. Anyway, you'll get that later. So it's not wrong. There's a lot of things that are customs. If you shook hands with someone this week, that's a custom. That was always to find out if they had a weapon in their hand. That's what people did. If someone's ever sneezed and you said, God bless you, that was a custom. For years they thought your spirit left your body if you sneezed. So when you said, God bless you, their spirit went back in. So there's all sorts of strange things that we do that have just kind of come. you know, the legend of the Easter eggs. And I don't worship Ishtar. I don't worship eggs. I don't worship trees outside. But there's a lot of that that does come from the heathens. But that's not what we do. We just pick a day. So don't let anyone take away your joy if you have Christmas lights up. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. So moving right along on here, the do's and the don'ts. Just some practical things. So you go into someone's house this week. Someone's invited you over. You're going to Aunt Mabel's house and Uncle George's house. You don't like Uncle George and you don't like Aunt Mabel. You're not even sure if she is your aunt, but you're going anyway. Just some several thoughts. Number one, bring a gift. Bring a gift. You always look better when you bring something in. It may be a candle, not a lit one. Here, kids, hold it. And maybe it's a candle in a bag. Maybe it's poinsettias, which they sell at that time of the year. That always looks nice. But you're bringing something. So in their mind, you're not just a taker. You're someone that's a giver. You're contributing something. Maybe they say, oh, I don't bring anything. But you're bringing a dessert anyway. And you know, you're going to bring that there. Okay, number two, bring the party with you. Some of your relatives probably don't know how to have a good time. Some of their homes, it is dead. You walk in, TV's not on, football's not on, music's not on, the curtains are all pulled. It's dead. No wonder you don't like going there. But bring the party with you. Have a little pep talk with your family. I know it's boring, but we're going to have a good time. So let's have fun. Beat Grandpa in checkers and let him beat you. And you know, that sort of thing. So bring the party with you. Number three, have activities ready. So if you're doing something at your house and you're inviting folks over, have some activities ready. In parentheses, it says do something, don't watch something. The average home, it's, oh, we're glad you're here. Sit down. Wonder what's on TV. I mean, they came all the way there to sit down and watch TV. They could have done that at home. Have some activities. Get out the horseshoes if you have those. Get out the tetherball if you have one of those. Get out the Monopoly game. Get a chess set out, some checkers. Get the Frisbee out. Get the football out. Get in the backyard and toss it some. You want to have just some things. You want to talk to people and fellowship. People fellowship more while they're doing something. If you have a ping pong table, get that ping pong table out there. Again, let the guests win. You know, don't invite people over. Man, we smashed them. But let them win some of the games. Number four, stay off your phone. Stay off your phone. If you're going to someone's house or you're having relatives over, hey, Grandma and Grandpa's here. Stay off the phone. Just put it down. Put it up somewhere. If it's an emergency, they'll come to your house. Just stay off the phone. Enjoy the people. Talk to them. You're around them once a year. Let them feel like you're really interested in them. Do some catching up. Hear their stories. Don't do all the talking yourself. Ask questions. Let them talk. Okay, you say, Pastor, where's this in the Bible? Well, it's called wisdom. Number five, do not allow evil to take place in your house. If it's at your house, that means you're guarding the television. If you turn the TV on, flip the channels if something ungodly's on. If they put it on something ungodly, hey, let's turn that off. We're all going outside. We're all going to throw the football. I mean, even Grandpa, who's 99, hey, turn that off. We're throwing the football. So you want to just make sure evil does not happen at your house. That's alcohol. That's unholy shows. That's cussing on the television. That's the cheerleaders on the NFL games. Just guard it. Number six, learn how to make an appearance at all invitations. What in the world does that mean? You know, if we're not careful, you know, you get saved, and all of a sudden we say, my relatives are evil, these relatives are evil, we're going to abstain, and you pull away, and they say, ever since you went to that church, we never see you anymore. And it almost seems like you're in a cult, when really, it doesn't hurt if they invite you over, drop by a gift, eat a piece of pie. Man, we got to be somewhere else pretty soon. Man, we'll catch you later. Make an appearance. Show up. Walk slowly through the crowds. That's a quote from John Kennedy. He told his wife, walk slowly through the crowds. I mean, these people want to be around us. And man, let's be here. That is so important. Because if you're not careful, you turn off unsaved relatives because they think, well, they're just so much better than us. They cannot associate with us. We're going to corrupt them. If you can't walk through the evil people 5 minutes without falling, your Christianity is kind of weak. Jesus was always around sinners and winning them and eating and then doing miracles. And you know, you want your light to shine. So important. Flip your paper over just for a second, if you would. And it says the variety of Bible families. Just want to read through these for a moment just to show you. No family had it all together. Look at this. Blended families. King Herod married his brother's wife. Is there anybody here married to your brother's wife? I mean, the brother and his wife split, so his brother married his wife. That's kind of strange. And she already had a daughter. And so, mom, dad, stepdaughter. All right? So, it's just a lot of variety. Unusual families. Mary and Joseph. Joseph, I'm having a baby. Notice, she didn't say, we're having a baby. I'm having a baby. And he says, it's off. The Holy Ghost appeared and said, it's of the Holy Ghost. Excuse me, an angel appeared. That's an unusual family. How about this one? Older first-time parents. Abraham was 99. Sarai was in her 90s. Can you imagine going somewhere? Oh, your grandpa's with you. No, it's my daddy. Oh, who's this old man? My husband. They were an older couple. Having their first child. I can see Abraham now puts his little baby on the lap. Ride horsey. And he broke his knee. You know, his knee breaks. Can you whistle? And his dentures fall. Anyway, so, you know, I have to be careful. Honey, turn the hearing aid up. I think the baby's crying. First time parents. How about this one? The only parents on the planet, Adam and Eve. Hey, what if we can get someone to babysit the twins? There's no one else on the planet, Adam. No one else lives here. How about this one? Grandparents, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's mentioned a lot in the Bible. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. God is much into relationships. He wants the grandparents to have some influence on the kids. It gives stability. Grandpa, tell me about when my dad was young. Tell me about when my mom was young. Tell me a story how you raised them. It just gives security. Here's another one. A close family, Noah. You remember his three sons got on the ark? Their wives got on the ark? They went on vacation. They went on a cruise for a year together as a family. Here's one. Not close. Joseph and his brothers. When you have brothers that want to kill you, and then they say, nah, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. You got some issues in your family. Who else? Abraham raised his nephew Lot. His nephew lived with him. Sometimes families have a relative that lives with them that's not immediate family. Here's one. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. They all grew older together. You remember? It was Moses. He was in the little ark of bulrushes. His older sister, she was probably 6 or 8. She's the one that, hey, you want me to get someone to help you nurse the child? And then Aaron was the brother. So three kids about the same age. They started serving God when they were in their 80s. That's very unusual. So we see these other relationships or relatives. Lois and Eunice are mentioned in the book of Timothy. That's Timothy's mother and grandmother. He had an unsaved dad who was a Greek, but it mentions the faith of his mother and grandmother. Notice just all the different relationships. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were all close. John Mark, who was that? Barnabas's nephew. And you'll see in the book of Acts, Paul said, John Mark's a quitter. We're not taking him on the missionary journey. Barnabas said, we're taking it. Why did Barnabas fight so hard? It was his nephew, blood relative. So now that makes sense. And so we see all these different relatives here. Joshua, spiritual leader in the home. Abraham helped his son find a good wife, sent the servant, said, I'm concerned. Get this. He said, I'm concerned. My son's 40. It's time he started dating. And I think that's probably true. That's a good age, about 40. Then we see Manoah did not help his son find a good wife. Samson said, get her for me. And Manoah didn't know what to do. Elimelech let his two sons date and marry heathens in Moab. Job's children were very close. Hagar was a surrogate mother. You're the servant. You're now marrying Abraham. You will have a child with him. She didn't have a whole lot of say-so about that. Ended up, the wife kicked her out, and she became a single mom. So we have every relationship known to man in the Bible right here. Philip the evangelist had four daughters that said they prophesied or they proclaimed God's word. He had four girls that really knew God's word. Get this. Paul's in prison, and these 40 men said, we're going to make an oath. We're not going to eat till we kill Paul. Paul's nephew heard about the plot, came to jail, told Paul, hey, Paul, Uncle Paul, they're going to kill you. He said, go tell the centurion. He told him, he told the soldiers and said, let's rescue him. His nephew helped save his life so he could stay alive long enough to write part of the Bible. So here's a nephew, here's an uncle. And then Jesus had brothers and sisters that did not believe on him till later. Because Mary and Joseph came together after the virgin birth, and he had at least four named brothers and at least two sisters, but it said they believed on him after the resurrection. So what I'm trying to say is all of us have different groupings. You know, it could be a grandparent, could be aunts, could be uncles, could be brothers, could be cousins and all this. But God wants us somehow to figure out how do we get around these people and still try to put our spiritual arms around them and bring them closer to the Lord. That's what we want to do without them thinking we're better than them. So several other things, just do's and don'ts. Here we are. Look at this one here. Learn to make appearance. Number 7, help with the cooking and the serving. And here's the blank, the cleanup. I'll do the dishes. I'll wipe the table. I'll take out the trash. You want to be a part of that. And if you have children with you, have a little talk beforehand. Don't you let grandma or these people's invited us. They're not doing any dishes. Y'all get in there and y'all get on those dishes, right? They need to say, what? Look at this. We need to have them over more often. Okay. Number 8, quickly. Dress cheery, not dreary. You ladies know how to do this. I've seen the ladies come into the ladies' Christmas activity. You know, it's prize for the best dress. And they've got the little ears. And they've got the little lights and the earrings. And they got the necklaces and the lights. And then they got these sweaters and these crazy shoes. And I mean, it's like Rudolph and the elves and Santa and Mrs. Santa and Christmas tree. I mean, all kind of people are there. And that's how it ought to be as you go in the holidays. Dress festive. Why? People ought to say, y'all always have fun. Y'all, you're a fun family. You're fun people. I don't know, because sometimes people are all dressed in black. You know, here it's Christmas Day, and it's they have white socks, but, you know, it's all black, nothing cheery, nothing red, nothing green. You want to be cheery, not dreary. Number 9, have seasonal music playing. My wife has already started playing Christmas music. And it's some song about my husband bought me a lot of things for Christmas or something. You know, it's a subliminal thing trying to get this thing going. But, you know, you can have that in the background, whether it's the Chipmunks. You can download stuff, put it on your phone, your iPod, and all this stuff. But you know, it could be that. It could be the old Christmas stuff. It could be no words. It could just be the instrumental. They have panpipes. They have a piano. It cheers up the home. It just cheers it up. Number Number 10, avoid controversial subjects. So while you're at someone's house for the holidays, don't bring up politics. Probably not good to bring up the vaccine. You know, right in the middle of the meal. We're going to stab the turkey right now. I'm not getting a vaccine, are you? Well, the turkey didn't have one either. Okay, talk about some positive thing. You know, you can talk about Christmases in the past. You can talk about this or a sale you went to or your favorite gift as a kid. You know, there's so much you could talk about beside that. Stay off of controversial subjects. If your relatives try to set you up with a controversial question, well, how do you feel about this? You know, oh, it's a long question. That's it. Dodge it. You're not a compromiser. Well, what do you think about drinking alcohol? We have wine over here. It sure is. Wow, you sure do have it. All right, I sure like this. Change the subject. Don't argue. Doctrines, anything controversial, you're going to lose. You're going to lose them. You never win an argument. Just leave it alone. You're not there to preach to them. They need the gospel. They don't need to hear why they need to be a Baptist. They need to know how to get saved. They don't need to hear why you do drink or don't drink or do drug or don't drug. They need to hear the good news about Jesus' birth. Okay, let's keep going here. What else? Do not witness every time you see them. If Mike Sikowski was here, the karate guy from our church, when he got saved, he was saved about 2 weeks, and he discovered the Catholic Church had lied to him his whole life. He realized it wasn't from the Bible. There was no purgatory. The priest couldn't forgive sin. And it just hit him all at once, and he was mad. He went to his parents' house and said, "You've been lied to. The Pope is a dope." And that was one of the kindest things he said. And he gave him the whole barrel of truth in about an hour. And his parents choked on it. Said, "Get out of here. We never want to see you again." I mean, they were mad because he poured too much on them. The Bible says Jesus taught them as they were able to hear it, spoon-fed, a little bit at a time, as they ask. And later on, he was able to lead them to the Lord and so forth. Number 12, take photos together. Take photos together. When you take a picture, it's like, I like being around you. Hey, I'm not close to my stepsister's going to be there. Take a picture with her. We took pictures when I met my half-sister for the first time. Never even seen her. We took photos together. It's like saying, I'm glad I met you. You're my half-sister. Why wouldn't I want to take a picture with you? It just relaxes people. People like to be in pictures. Take photos together. Here we are. All right, Grandpa, five generations. Here we are. All right, let's have the women here. Let's have this. It's something about it. You're going to wish you did it. Number 13, during the Christmas season, send Christmas photos to stay connected. Especially if you still have the kids at home, take a family picture and you mail it to the relatives. What's it do? They don't want that. Yeah, they do. Because you'll end up going to their house and guess what's on their refrigerator? That picture. And they'll give you a call. Hey, the kids are growing up so much. They really do look at those. A picture is even better than a $5 Christmas card that you sign me and Joe, you know, or whoever on the card. People like pictures. I'm just telling you. And you can get them so cheaply duplicated these days. Our favorite Christmas picture was us on the killer whale at SeaWorld. Or was it Marine World at that time? And they had a plastic killer whale. And they had it painted like the water's flowing off of it. All the kids got on it. We're hanging onto the fin. They have a picture of the fans and the thousands of people in the background. And we duplicated it, sent it to everyone. The people in Louisiana kept asking, how did you get the whale to stay still for the picture? And they were serious. I'm not kidding you. They were serious. That was one of my favorite pictures, but that was a Christmas picture. It's not a waste. Well, they know what we look like. Oh, okay, all right, be that way. All right. Number 14, make your own traditions. Make your own traditions. And you don't have to stop it all when the kids leave. Just have some tradition. Well, every Christmas Eve, we drive downtown Napa. Every Christmas week, we drive through Silverado Country Club, what's left to it, and see the lights. You know, you can drive to see lights. You can Christmas carol. Like Brother Cavan has taught us, you could leave surprise gifts on people's doorsteps. You could deliver hot chocolate. There's all sorts of things that you could do. For years, when our kids were young, we'd be Santa, Mrs. Santa, and the elves. And we'd drop by on Christmas Eve, especially people who it was their last Christmas. We'd stop by and take pictures and give out some candy canes and so forth. Number next, don't miss church. Well, Christmas is on a Thursday, so, you know, we probably won't be there Sunday. How strange. We're celebrating the birth of Christ, so we have to miss church. It's just something. Number 16, don't go into debt for gifts. Whatever money you have, spend that. Don't go into debt. It may be good not to even put anything on a credit card if you can't control it. Okay, let's stop for a minute. Let's find out. All I need is one gift that you got for Christmas last year. You ready? Quick. Somebody on the front row. Okay, what? Okay. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. One gift you got last year for Christmas. Ready? Go. Okay. See, there it goes. How impressive those gifts were. Okay, anybody in the middle section? Something you got for Christmas last year. Ready, set, go. All right, how about this section over here? Just name one thing you got for Christmas last year. Okay, Velma? Slippers. Okay, how about this section over here? One, two, three. What? Okay, but what I'm saying is this. All the dreaming, all the shopping, all the gift wrap. And sometimes we hardly even remember it. And I'm not against that. Don't go into debt. Next, don't backslide. January, here's the pastor's counseling. Pastor, I don't even feel saved. January, I don't even know if I'm saved. You know why? We find their Bible here. There are other Bibles here. So much Christmas and the gift wrap and out of schedule and hadn't read the Bible and shopping and Black Friday and this. By the way, I think Black Friday is this Friday. They're doing it early to get you money or something. And just on and on and on. Number 18, if witnessing, and we're talking about relatives, get them alone. How do you get them alone? Here's the best way. Hey, man, we're eating in an hour, Jaden, and man, we forgot to get that. Oh, what's that red thing in the can? You cut it. Oh, it's cranberry sauce. You want to get in the car? Hey, and let's drive down to 7-Eleven. Let's get some. Now I'm alone. That's when you witness. Hey, we forgot something. Get in the car. Help me go get it. Now you're alone, and you're away from the crowd. No one's going to say, no, you get it. Why do I need to go with you? No, the relatives will get in the car with you. Number next, we're hastening. We're going to be out just on time. Number 19, begin with your testimony. Begin with your testimony. I shared the gospel with someone today. Started with my testimony. Well, here it is. Let me tell you what happened to me and why Christmas is so special to me. Or if it's during Thanksgiving, let me tell you the greatest thing I'm thankful for. I know I'm going to heaven. You see, it was so many years ago, so you're just flipping it right there. Then you're going to ask, would you like to hear it? Number 20, ask if you can show them one time. You've never let me show you this. Can I show you one time? I'm not going to bug you about this all the time. Just can I show you one time? Number 21, realize or remember that some relatives specialize in only remembering and reminding the negatives about you. How many of you have ever had a relative like that? That was their calling in life. Just remind everyone how imperfect you were. Yeah. And it's going to be some people like that. It's okay. I know you're in church now, but I remember when you got drunk. Look. There's always going to be someone like that. Don't let it get under your skin. It's okay. Number next. Number 22, and this may be important, make any apologies necessary that the Holy Spirit impresses you to make. You know, you may end up around some relatives, and maybe you got in trouble together years and years before, and now you're saved. And it may be, hey, can I just tell you something? I just want to say I'm sorry. You remember, I mean, years and years ago, we got into some trouble, and that was me. And you know, we shouldn't have done it, and I shouldn't have led you down that path. And I just want to tell you I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And I tell you what, that goes a long way in trying to win some unsaved relatives, because no one humbles themselves and apologizes these days. But sometimes the Holy Spirit may lay that on your heart to actually share that with some relative. Just a thought. And then I think we're about done with this. Number 23, God is for joy and a merry heart. Jesus and the Jews had many, many holidays. He is not against you having a good time, doing some popcorn balls, watching a ball game Thursday, having extra special time thanking Him for all His blessings. He's not against the board games. You know, He's not against that. And so I hope that some of these things will be a help as we get around some relatives and some people we're not around a whole lot. Who would say tonight, Pastor, there's been at least one thing, one tip, some reminder that will probably help you in the next 2 months as you see some relatives? Anybody like that? Good. I hope so. Father, thank You for Your faithfulness to us. Thank You for relatives and moms, dads, brothers, sisters, all these different people that somehow You've connected us with.